Hello and welcome back to the PAL with Rebbe T, the Pirkei Avos Learning, the show where we talk a Mishnah of Pirkei Avos per day with sagely commentary and practical advice to say. All previous episodes and seasons at anchor.fm/RebbeT. We're in 6-4 Vavdalad here on Season 3 with Yad Avraham. We only have a couple of Mishnahs left, 6 or 7 left, and then we're going to take our summer hiatus. Don't worry, we'll bring another show, God willing, Bli Neder, the summer special series, the Igaris HaRamban. Looks like we're going to try to do special for this summer. But here in the PAL with Yad Avraham, before we come back next season, hopefully with a new commentator, a new sage to help us out, looking at Pirkei Avos. Look at 6-4, Vav Dalet, a small one here in the last chapter, talking about the way of Torah. Kach hi darko shel Torah. This is the way of Torah. This is what you should do to be involved in a life of Torah. Pas bamelach tochel. Eat only bread with salt. Umayin b'mishura tish. Drink water in small measure, ve'al ha'aretz tishan, and sleep on the ground, ve'chayet za'ar tichyeh, live a life of privation, uva'torah ata amel, and you should toil in the Torah. Im ata osekein, if you do this, ashrecha ve'tov lach, you are fortunate, and it is well for you, ashrecha ba'olam hazeh, you are fortunate in this world, ve'tov lach la'olam haba, and it is well with you in the world to come. A nice concise Mishnah, a small Mishnah, but a powerful Mishnah nonetheless. The obligation to engage in Torah study applies to all people at all times, regardless of their material circumstances. Even the poorest person cannot use poverty as an excuse for failing to study Torah. See Rambam Hilchos Talmud Torah. The Gemara Yuma teaches that when a poor person is judged by the heavenly court after his death, he will be asked why he did not study Torah. If he answers that his poor state allowed him no time or peace of mind, the court will point to the example of Hillel, who persevered in his studies despite his dire poverty. Hillel literally was on the roof in the snow in bitter, bitter cold, trying to just glimpse and listen to the studies of the sages because he didn't even have the coin to enter the yeshiva. So you can't use that as an excuse. Thus, Gemara concludes, Hillel renders poor people liable for failing to study Torah sufficiently. This brisa is describing the lifestyle one must be prepared to adopt in order to fulfill his obligation to study Torah, the way of Torah, the path to achieving greatness in Torah, as pointed out by Ruach Chaim. Eat only bread with salt, so satisfy your hunger with bread dipped in salt, if that is all you can afford in your present impoverished state, as pointed out by Rashi and Machzor Vitri. Drink water in small measure. A mishura is a small liquid measure, pointed out by Rashi. And you could also see Bava Basra. If you have no money for wine or other beverages, very, very common in the time of the Gemaras, they were drink wine a lot and things like that. So if you can't do that, then make do with water, pointed out by Midrash Shmuel. Even if water is so scarce that you can afford to drink it only in small amounts, as pointed out by Machzor Vitri. Sleep on the ground. If you have no money for bedding, then sleep on the bare ground without sheets or blankets to cover yourself, pointed out by Midrash Shmuel. I would also point out that Rabbi Akiva would stand up for the fact that when he started in Torah, he had no money. Him and his wife Rachel, they literally had only straw in their house, and he would pick out the straw out of her hair, the Gemara explains, and he would tell her one day that they would have enough money. Hopefully he would get her a Yerushalayim Shel Zahav. But then Eliyahu Hanavi came, described as a beggar, asking for a little bit of straw for his wife to give birth. And they realized that even they had a little more than other people, because the neighbor who needed the straw didn't even have straw. So this person can't use the excuse of not having money to not having a place to sleep, because you could learn from the case of Rabbi Akiva. Even if there's no money for bedding, you still have to figure out what to do. Live a life of privation. It's a reference to a lifestyle lacking in all types of physical comforts. Having described the discomfort one must be prepared to bear with regard to the basic necessities of food, drink, and sleep, Bryson makes a general statement that one must be prepared to live a life of physical deprivation, pointed out by Midrash Shmuel, and toil in the Torah, persevere in the Torah studies, even if it means living the life of hardship described above, pointed out by Rashi and Machzor Vitri. Only in this way can one achieve growth in Torah, for if a poor person aspires to a life of comfort, he will never find time to study Torah. He will be constantly occupied with earning the money needed to achieve that lifestyle, as pointed out by Ruach Chaim. If you do this, if you willingly accept upon yourself to toil in Torah despite the great hardship that it entails, pointed out by Midrash Shmuel, it'll be unfortunate and well for you, fortune in this world, and well with you in the world to come. The phrase is taken from Psalms, and the verse expounds the double expression as referring to one's portion in this world and the world to come. Besides the great reward that awaits one in the world to come for studying Torah in poverty, he also merits material success in this world. That's why the Mishnah says it also elsewhere in Pirkei Avos, whoever fulfills Torah despite poverty will ultimately fulfill it in wealth. Thus he'll be fortunate in this world and well with him in the world to come, inheriting both worlds, pointed out by Machsavichim, Major Shmuel, and Rashi in Tiferes Yisrael. Also, one who eschews luxury and devotes himself to Torah said can be called fortunate in this world, even in impoverished state, because he's satisfied with what he has and appreciates the little he has, which is also a mission in Pirkei Avos. Who is rich, he who is happy with his lot. One who pursues a life of luxury cannot truly enjoy life, for he is constantly preoccupied with earning money to support the lavish lifestyle, pointed out by Abarbanel, Ruach Chaim, and Chassid Yavitz, and Medrash Shmuel. Also, the Bryson message could be applied not only to poor people, but also to others. It doesn't apply to the rich, whose wealth enables them to enjoy a physically comfortable lifestyle without interfering with their devotion to Torah study, but many commentators disagree with the interpretation. They can argue that the Bryson makes no distinction between rich and poor. The Bryson is stating this is the way of Torah, meaning the message applies to all people who want to pursue Torah, whether rich or poor. Therefore, they would explain it to teach that if one wants to succeed in Torah study, he must reject forms of physical comfort, even those that are within his means. The completely spiritual Torah cannot be absorbed by someone who is rooted in physicality, so key to advancement in Torah is the rejection of all forms of physical pleasure, living a life in which one satisfies his physical requirements with the bare minimum. The Gemara points out in Shabbos and Gittin that the words of Torah are retained only by one who hurts himself over the Torah. He kills himself with the physical desires within him. He kills those desires by refraining from unnecessary physical comforts, pointed out by Maharsha, Derechai, Machasid Yavetz, and Midrash Shmuel. Practically, though, physical indulgence leads to time wasted from Torah study as well. Once one gets used to creature comforts, he finds it difficult to live without them. When his income can't support that, he will feel compelled to take time from the studies to earn more money so he can continue his comfortable way of life. For this reason, the Brisa exhorts even the wealthy to eschew luxury and to make do with the bare necessities. As pointed out by Medrash Shmuel, there is an example. Well, and with this, there's an example of an explanation of this. They say that somebody went to visit the Chafetz Chaim, I believe, in his home, and this was a very well-to-do person. Somebody was traveling, and he went to Rodin, where I believe the Chafetz Chaim lived, and he came into the house, and he was aghast at looking at the bare necessities the Chafetz Chaim had. He had, like, a table, a lamp, a chair, and a bed, and, like, nothing else. And the visitor came to Chafetz Chaim, and he said, "Rabbi, Rebbe, how could you live like this? What are you doing? Can I please pay for you? Can I get you more furniture? Can I get you, I could get anything you want, spare no expense." And the Chafetz Chaim says to him, "Where's your furniture? Where's all your creature comforts? Where's everything you have?" And he says, "Rebbe, I'm only a visitor. I'm only passing through." And the Chafetz Chaim says back to him, "I too am only a visitor. I am only passing through." So that's the point, that we're supposed to eschew physical comforts. Of course, it's good and it's wonderful that we should have the car, we should have the house, but we shouldn't have to try to live up to societal standards, quote unquote, of what is really necessary. We have to think, what is really, really necessary? What do we really need? You have a roof over your head, and you have food in your body, and you have clothing on yourself, and you have a car. They say you're richer than more than 90% of the world. There's a saying that says that, because there's so many people out there that don't even have even half or a third or a tenth of what we have. So the Mishnah is explaining to us that we should eschew the physical, pursue the spiritual with the Torah, and try to avoid what's really unnecessary. Probably try to get only what really is necessary. Make sure to have the things covered, to have the bills covered, and anything more is a luxury and is wonderful, but not as necessary as what the Mishnah is trying to point out to us over here. Join us next time as we talk about not trying to seek greatness for yourself and not coveting honor here on the PAL with Reb T. And I'm your host, Reb T.